My name is Claudio Bottoni. I'm head of engineering of Sanrifiot. I didn't hear nothing about the end of life of this kind of material. What is the situation nowadays? What can we see in the future of this?
The hard work of composites teams should be shouted from the rooftops. We're on a mission to give your solutions better visibility and reach, to make them more widely known in the market and gain the appreciation they deserve. To make lightweight construction and specialized technologies available to end users, as well as attract projects, customers, and talent, join our Composites Lounge community. The Composites Lounge community is open to entrepreneurs, C-levels, specialists, and managers who want to create a better world with their innovative composites and play a key role in the success of their company. So if you're a hidden champion who isn't sure how to best promote your work, join a supportive and innovative community which is focused on making composites achievements visible to end users. The Composites Lounge community celebrates and promotes the best innovations, lightweight construction technologies, and sustainable solutions in the automotive, aviation, renewable energy, oil and gas industries, and many more. Get involved at compositeslounge.com.
So I will answer because I think we have tomorrow at the same time a panel discussion about circularity in marine industry, and especially the best practice example of today. So I see also here in the audience some experts about recycling, thermosets, thermoplastics, using the new reprocessable resins and so on. So there are plenty of innovation. It's accelerating very fast in this sector, and I invite you to come tomorrow on that.
Sure.
And of course, to all of you, if you have more interest in knowing what composite solutions are offered to marine, I have only one place to invite you to come. It's Jack World. It's in March. It's in Paris, and every year, like the Met, every year we meet here and we meet in Paris, and there you have all composite solutions, including recycling. You will have a specific circularity village this year. And to close this session, because I think we just over time, I'll show you a glimpse of what is Jack World, and I invite you to join. And I would like to thank all our panelists, who of course will be at Jack World too. Thank you all.
introducing new materials, which is a perceived risk as well into the manufacturing. But we have shown in the marine, but also in automotive, as you rightly said, we have shown that the materials are there and they are capable to withstand the harsh environment. Also automotive panels, especially exterior ones, are subject to. And to prove that, we usually use accelerated weathering tests, which means that the components are put in a hot and wet environment for a given number of cycles, depending on the automotive OEM we are working with. And this allows us to get confidence from their side, but also from the market.
Last question maybe to you before jumping to other our panelists. The aesthetics of it, the fact that you can weave them, that it gives a different look and feel maybe in interiors, is it a game changer? You see traction on that and interest from customers?
It is absolutely, and the ability we have to vary the weave pattern with the weaving machine we are using is something that is very attractive to clients and to designers especially. And also the possibility to dye the fibers, because flax fibers, as well as our linen fibers that we use in clothes, can be dyed before the lamination process, which means that we can achieve pretty much any color, any right color. And this again gives a lot of freedom in terms of design and aesthetic look to the design.
Thanks, Paolo. Marcus, you Bicorp has been, of course, one of the pioneers of this area, but considering the development of the market, I think you have founded a startup also in this sector. What's your strategy? What are the products you want to offer to take advantage of these new opportunities on the market?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here. So when we started, we were thinking how to make the most benefit of the natural fibers, and we realized one thing is that in contrast to carbon and glass fiber, which are made in continuous length, the natural fiber, a plant, has a discrete length. There is a certain length to the fiber. So the second thing we looked at is what's actually, hindering the adoption of natural fibers, and we saw that there are many process steps to make the material and then the product. So our thinking is to make the production chain as short as possible. It saves CO2 emission because it's nice to have natural fiber, but every process step consumes energy. And it also makes it more affordable. So that's our thinking. We developed a new technology and a new product. We call it Eve Tile. So it's not a continuous format, but a discrete length. It's unidirectional because we want to keep the mechanical properties to the maximum, so maximum performance, and an easy wave processing. So the product we're developing, we can make panels, curved panels. The look is very nice, so we try to optimize the look and feel. And we also work on the resins, because it's nice to have the natural fiber there, but the resins, if you look to CO2 emissions and LCA, are a very important factor. So we work hard to also create 100% bio-based resins, adopting the new resins coming to the market, plant-based. And the interesting thing is that the look and feel is, we can play with it. We can play with how we structure the tiles, create different patterns. And it's very much like high quality wood, which is also used a lot, of course, in interiors. And then combined with the maximum performance and also the capability of making curved parts. So that's what we are doing. And we know Bicomp is one of the pioneers, and we try to develop, let's say, an alternative way to use natural fiber.
Of course, as you mentioned, it's a plant, so you don't get the same production continuous processes. It depends also on where it's grown, you know. So it's a way of having a local sourcing in Europe, because Europe is quite developed in terms of supply chain. The reliable supply chain is there, so people can trust the fact that there will be available material along the years.
Yeah, it's a good point. So we work very closely directly with the companies that are harvesting the flax and, let's say, converting it. We try to be very early in the production chain, so we're very close to the origins of the fiber. The quality is consistent, so we test a lot. We also make sure we can work with many different fibers. So flax fiber is, of course, the dominant fiber there, but hemp is also very interesting. Also, if you think about sustainability, if you grow a hemp plant, it's a more sustainable way of doing it. There's less use of water, the CO2 emissions are a bit lower, and some customers like it. And we also work with other fibers. So our processing technology, we try to make independent of the fiber. And it means we need to be very close to the source. And you're right, the variability is an important factor, but I think industry, because of there are many examples that you've shown, the supply chain of flax is becoming at the right level to really start using it in structural applications.
Yeah, I think we can underline the work done by the Alliance for European Flax and Linen Hemp. It's really a good organization promoting these fibers. From a global point of view, there I must also witness that there are alternatives around the world. So in some areas, we're talking about jute, about bamboo. So I think the trend of natural fibers is developing worldwide. It's also local sourcing in some areas instead of importing fibers from the other side of the world. The composite community worldwide is also looking at alternatives in the world. We talked about fibers, but let's talk about resins maybe. And I think Philippe from Gurit, I mean, I think you all know Gurit, considering the history and the importance of the company in the marine industry. What about the interest of customers for bio-based materials, for sourcing of these new kind of resins or alternatives to existing products?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. The interest from customers in bio-based materials is current. It is growing. We see the demand we put into our epoxy resins, and Gurit is an epoxy formulator and a manufacturer of composite materials globally based. We put around 25% of bio-based materials into the majority of our epoxy systems today, and that's well received by the customers. We also offer a up to 50% bio-based materials, but the question here is the supply chain for the bio-based resins, and that's the thing that we are currently trying to grow, establish, and that demand has to come from the customer base. And it's an interesting question how A, you ask it, and B, I try and field it, because do people want to pay a little bit more to guarantee that they have bio-based resins? Well, commercial aspects of producing resins have to weigh up in the end of the day. And we're looking to the consumers to ask us for these materials. We can provide it, we can add it into the resin systems, we do it as standard today, and we can also put it into our prepreg systems. And we have these formulations ready to go, but our customers need to ask us for it. There seems to be a movement into other resin systems which are 100% bio-based, plant-based, natural resin systems, thermoplastic resin systems that you can fully extrapolate out of a glass fiber or a flax matrix at the end of the day. These are areas we know about, but we're a formulator of epoxies, so we do our bit to put in as much bio as we can and on demand. And the supply chain is key to that. So to guarantee the price of a around 50% bio-sourced epoxy resin, we need to make sure that supply chain is in place. And today, it's not quite in place, it's not stable. The price of the raw material fluctuates, so it makes it a challenging environment. It has to be consumer-led.
In other sectors, like automotive, for example, we see now the importance of having a full CO2 footprint of the product. So the recent cars are produced and put on the market with a full LCA analysis. Is it something that, of course, having natural fibers, having bio-based products and so on, you are ready to provide the data to create that. Do you see some requests from your customers in the marine environment?
We see it more and more, and very serious today. We have a full-time sustainability officer who provides LCA certification for all the materials that we produce, including carbon prepreg, foam cores, and we can provide this data to various certification bodies who require it, and we can provide it to customers as they go through the process of selecting the materials that they choose to build their vessels or lightweighting their composite materials with. So it's LCA is not just about putting bio stuff, it's about your whole company, your whole transport links, and it starts at the bottom of the business and grows all the way through. We're listed, we have to have a sustainability report to attract investors. So it's very much core part of our key values and core bit of business today. LCA is fundamental as a car. So when you're producing a boat, you have to have this for most of the materials used today. The marine industry has moved on and is really doing the right thing by sustainability standards, yes.
By the way, I think there is on the program some LCA workshops from ICOMIA in the conference program. So I invite you to dig more into these LCA topics. We see that there are a common movement towards more sustainable solutions with natural fibers, with bio-based resins, and with this overall overview of the market. But there are also some creative ways to avoid a stronger or a more important CO2 footprint. And I'd like to I teased you a bit about the history of Armel Tripon and his Imoca boat, and which has been built, by the way, by Duquesne Atlantique in Nantes. The interesting point is that to build these boats, they have not been using the regular virgin product coming directly from the suppliers. They have been using material coming from Airbus. And I think you can, Nicolas, explain us a bit more the product, how it happened, and what are the first learnings out of it. Because instead of having a waste, you produced the material to build new boats.
Yes, thank you, Eric. So yes, we started some years ago, 7 years ago, internally to do a reuse of our end of spools. And for our own research product, in fact. And after the COVID crisis, we have some program that has stopped, and we have leftover materials. And we thought it was not good to continue to landfilling our leftover material and to try to find other solutions, as we started to do internally. So we propose to sell our leftover to other domain of activity. So we search, we are new on the market, in fact, and we are searching a solution to reuse or repurpose our material. And in fact, it was not the first boat. We started with Roland Jourdain on the catamaran,
yes,
that come from us, from the material comes from Airbus. This was the first one, and there was a second one in Switzerland also. And but the bigger one is this Imoca, and where we sell 2 tons of materials, so it's a prepreg materials from A380, and now we are. It was made by Duquesne, and it was a big test, in fact, to show that it's possible to reuse and repurpose material. So reuse is for when I say reuse, in fact, it's when we use the material for our own activities, and repurpose when we sell it to other activity. And we have tested with partners many things. So we have tested some prosthetic blades. Now it's a company, we make prosthetic blades. We have some bicycles for Olympic Games. And so we work to find some solution. As I said, we are new on the market also, so it's difficult to find customers. And do the people are ready to change their way of working, their processes, to adapt to our material, so high mechanical properties, because we keep the properties, in fact. And we work also on life cycle analysis or assessment to know where we are comparing to find virgin or brand new material or virgin material. So we have huge work to do.
I can imagine also that you have a lot of work to do, because usually when people think about Airbus, they see you as a customer. So they want to sell you resins, fibers and prepregs and so on, not as supplier for material. So in fact, you invite people who are willing to build new products. It can be a boat or other products. You are able to supply materials. And by the way, high grade materials, because I assume that carbon fiber for A380 was top quality.
Yes, we have different type of materials that we propose. So we have prepreg or dry fiber. So out of due date, but for aerospace, but it's still working for other domains of activity. And we have also aircraft parts, like floor panel, rods, that have small defects for aeronautics, but they can be used outside aeronautics. And you can do some walls for our boats using floor panel, for example. We have some customer who do that. It's fire resistant. We have many things. We have a catalog. So
if you want to buy some great products from Airbus, you can connect with Nicolas. By the way, I think it's interesting to see that sailors are keen to take the risk to test new solutions, because the development cycles are maybe shorter than in aerospace or in automotive and so on. So in the marine community, there are people like Armel or Roland Jourdain or others who are keen to test materials or that kind of repurposed materials or natural fibers and so on. So I think it's a tribute to the creativity of sailors and their willingness to test new things. So I think we can celebrate that already. I think for the remaining minutes of this panel, first of all, I would like to thank you. And if there are questions in the audience to our panelists, I would be happy to. I think we can have a mic for some questions. Are there any questions? Raise your hand and you will get a mic.
Thank you very much. My name is Ivo Veldhuis. I'm a naval architect, currently doing a project with alternative fuels such as methanol, and I wanted to ask you for the various composite materials that you're proposing, what kind of fire standards according to IMO that you would be capable of delivering, obviously together with insulation materials and so forth, up to A30 and A60 standard.
So, thank you for your question. So for now, the fibers we develop, the fabrics we develop have been used in non-commercial marine vessels like the ones we saw before, where fire rating is not really a big topic. But we are also working in aerospace and rail, where fire is indeed a very hot topic. And we developed a treatment to the fabrics that combined with either fire retardant gels and or fire retardant resins, depending on the level of fire retardancy we need to achieve, allow the material to achieve the HL3 requirement for rail, which is the highest standard for rail components, and also to match the requirements for commercial planes interiors, which are pretty tough, as you can imagine. So I think we can develop a resin and a fiber treatment that meets the standards you are looking at. Of course, fire rating is very dependent on the market and very dependent on the different testing that the material has to fulfill. But it's something we can work on together with our R&D team.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's good a remark made. I want to make another remark. The resin is also important to make it fire resistant. And there are natural material resins that have very good fire resistant properties. So it's not epoxy, but there are others, which makes it very interesting. There's also one component to take in mind. There can be additives to increase the, fire resistance. So that's good. It can have an impact on the LCA as well. So it's important to take it into account. And what we've also seen is that LCAs are typically done at the end of the process, where you have all the details available to make 100% LCA. What we see, and we've developed also a tool, is to do it very early. So CO2 emissions are the most important ones in our mind. There are, of course, also other components, but you want to have a tool that you can use in the conceptual phase. Because we've also learned that the design decisions are not so intuitive, what's more sustainable. So you need to really be careful at the early stages with the decisions you make.
Any other questions from the audience?
Thank you very much. My name is Claudio Bottoni. I'm a head of engineering of Sanrifiot. I didn't hear nothing about the end of life of this kind of material. What is the situation nowadays? What can we see in the future of this?
So I will answer, because I think we have tomorrow at the same time a panel discussion about circularity in marine industry, and especially the best practice example of today. So I see also here in the audience some experts about recycling, thermosets, thermoplastics, using the new reprocessable resins and so on. So there are plenty of innovation. It's accelerating very fast in this sector. And I invite you to come tomorrow on that.
Sure.
And of course, to all of you, if you have more interest in knowing what composite solutions are offered to marine, I have only one place to invite you to come. It's JEC World. It's in March. It's in Paris. And every year, like the Met, every year we meet here and we meet in Paris. And there you have all composite solutions, including recycling. You will have a specific circularity village this year. And to close this session, because I think we just over time, I'll show you a glimpse of what is JEC World, and I invite you to join. And I would like to thank all our panelists, who of course will be at JEC World too. Thank you all.
How do we connect you with stories within the composites and sustainable materials industry? We are on the ground to find the facts. We examine big, innovative ideas. We let diverse perspectives on technology and sustainability emerge and ignite conversations that matter most to bring you the composites and sustainable materials world. Stay informed, stay connected, stay inspired. From our online studios in Germany, covering events and corporates from France, Italy, UK, Central Europe, and many more European regions. Join us for creating sustainable value.
With Composites 360 on tour, Composites Lounge engineering talks, and Composites Lounge end user panels hosted by Ilkay Özbizoğlu. Weekly on LinkedIn, YouTube, and your preferred podcasts.